Good morning, and thank you for joining us on the very first episode of the Roundtable Talk Show with Sharifa Hardy. And as many of you know, I just finished the election. And since I wasn't able to take the seat for the Long Beach City Council, I took the roundtable. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm bringing you current events with some of the most amazing people you will ever meet in your life. I'm going to introduce you to my guest. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's going on in the world, but I just wanted to share with you about a month ago when I decided to take this journey. I had no idea what I was going to say. I didn't know what I was going to talk about, but I knew if I brought together some interesting people, we would have some fun. So I'm going to introduce you to today's guest, and we're going to talk about some current events, what's going on in the world. And now, especially with everyone on quarantine, I'm pretty sure we do have a lot more to talk about. So today's guests I have are Marlena White. She has strong, positive opinions around women empowerment, CBD, love, marriage, and more. And you can find out more about Marlena at gracefulhealingretreat.com. We have Chad McDonald, who is a writer, a speaker, and also, we're going to talk a little bit about end of times with Chad. Not to say that we are in the end of times, but we're going to have a very interesting conversation. But you can find out more about Chad at gcandu.com. And our next guest is Frances Pullen. Frances loves discussing current events. Her new book, her latest book, Loving the Me and Me, Hypnotherapy, Mediumship, and All That Jazz. You can find more information about Frances at francispullen.com. Welcome everyone to the show. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank
Welcome. Thank you
you.
for having me.
Glad
This
to
is
be
exciting. This is so
here.
exciting. I'm excited. I don't know if anyone else is, but I'm excited. Can you tell?
Yes.
So again, a lot has happened in a month. I feel like I was in a whole different place, and now I'm here. I'm locked down on quarantine. Starting with you, Marlena, how has the quarantine and the COVID-19 affected your life?
Oh my, it affected me quite a bit. I actually have a 9 to 5, and then I also have my business, Graceful Healing Retreat. And then I also, of course, have a college student in college who I've been trying to get back here home during this whole incident with the COVID and COVID-19 and the traveling and all of that good jazz. And then I also, of course, have the YouTube. And honestly, I had not been excited about going on YouTube because I have actually an intuitive channel, Graceful Healing Intuitive Tarot. And I was actually quite I was avoiding it for some time because I didn't want to tap into the energies of the masses, of the collective. And I'm kind of glad that I did it yesterday because now I feel hyped today to come out here with you guys today because I was really avoiding anything about dealing with people and things of that nature because I've been home and, you know, or to the grocery store and I've just been doing the basics and I just didn't want to really tap into the whole TV and the fear and all of that and so right now I've kind of changed my tune a bit and now I'm just putting out information on hope and just upliftment, especially during these times.
Wow, that is amazing. It's interesting that you said that though, because I usually don't watch the news at all.
Me either.
But that doesn't mean to say that I don't receive the information, because I
Right.
think a lot of people moved away from television, but they still get their information on social media.
Right.
I was reading an article that Facebook put out where Mark Zuckerberg said, "We're just trying to keep the lights on." Like, that's the most simplest, plainest way of expressing it, especially as a CEO. I'm just trying to keep the lights on because of the load that Facebook is taking at this time with everyone on social media. Everybody's on social media. Everybody is like, what is going on in the world? So I didn't make a conscious decision not to tap into the energy. Like you, I'm a tarot reader. I love tarot. I love the information. I love watching the energy. But I felt this shift. And I said, okay, what can we do during this time? Because, like you said, there's a lot of fear. And what I love is watching Chad, who's one of my friends on Facebook, watching Francis, who's one of my friends on Facebook, who all of a sudden, it's just like I saw a lot more positive posts, a lot more uplifting posts. And it wasn't everything, no matter what came out in the media, there was still a positive spin. It's like, this happened, but guess what? There's still hope, there's still life. I thought that was a wonderful thing. Chad, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm coming to you from Hell's Kitchen, New York City, and it's a much different world here now than it was a month ago. As I mentioned prior to the show's airing, we're hearing a lot of helicopters going overhead. There's a big hospital ship that's coming into berth about five blocks away. I live about 10 blocks away from the Javits Center, where they're looking to turn that into a medical facility. And they're building a temporary hospital in Central Park. So things here are serious.
But what was your life like, Chad? I mean, I know there's a hospital right around there, but what was it like before? Because now, and I don't want to judge, but it almost seems like you're like bunkered down. Like you talk about the helicopters. Like
I have that. It definitely has that feel today. I mean, this is something that has been coming towards America for some time. And not to get into politics here, but we've got a federal government that just was caught completely flat-footed by this and didn't do enough to prepare. And that's why we're in as deep a mess as we're in right now. But putting that aside for a moment, the change in New York from where it was a month ago to where it is today is literally night and day. The streets are, I mean, there are still the odd person that you will see go walking by, but the streets are mostly empty. When I do a necessary supply run, it's very eerie. The streets are empty, the businesses are closed. Sort of looks like I Am Legend or The Stand or something like that. It's very empty. So that's why, getting back to your point about the positivity, with social media, I have a number of Facebook pages that I run with large followings. And I've sort of taken it upon myself as my responsibility. I'm like, well, there's countless people that follow my pages, that follow my posts. Many of them are sports fans. Many of them are parents, mm-hmm. Pop culture, comic books, superheroes, politics. And now everyone's online. And so I took it as my responsibility that if I'm going to be posting information, I need to make sure that it is vetted and it is accurate. And I also need to sort of walk a fine line here, because right now the entire world is in a very serious situation. That needs to be conveyed, that this is something that we need to take seriously. But to your point, we don't want to give in to fear. We want to keep hope alive. We want to remind people that there is still beauty in the world, that we can still get through this. That this, what we're doing right now, what we're doing by staying home, is giving healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, hospital workers, a chance to actually fight this thing, to help reverse the tide, flatten the curve, what have you. So these are historic times. It's just that simple. And again, I apologize that I look like I'm hunkered down in a bunker. That just happens to be the way the light is today.
No apology necessary. It's just interesting because the world looks so different. You know, 2 months ago, it wouldn't have even occurred to me to say that you look like you're bunkered down, or that, you know, because I would have just said, oh, you got a little shadow there, or maybe there's not a lot of light. But when you go out, everyone has masks on, everyone is, it's just like, oh my God, where are we? I posted something about the I Am Legend image a couple of days ago, and it's that feeling of we're going through this. But it's just interesting to see different responses. Francis, how are things for you? What is this like for you?
Well, to begin with, my world went upside down when my children said, you're not going anywhere. And I run the streets. I go to meetings. I network. I go to visit you at your house. I do a lot of things. And sitting at home, I have had to redevelop some of my business. I'm doing classes online. getting ready to actually film myself, which I hate to do, but I'm going to, because Loving the Me in Me is a book that I've written and a concept that I've worked on for 3 or 4 years now. And I've been told from Spirit that if we learn to love ourselves first, teach other people to love themselves, that we can conquer so much in this world and we can bring about a giant change, huge change to the way we speak to each other, respect each other, absolutely everything. So I am home cooking soups and pea soup and spaghetti sauce and lasagna, all kinds of things. And they're dashing off to the store for me when I need one more thing. So we're staying home, my husband and I, and business has definitely changed. It has a new picture, but I think it's positive. I know that people are in crises and I respect that, but there is some positive that's gonna come out of this. There has to be. And when we talk about posting positivity, I'm a little Pollyanna kind of gal, and I see things with my rose-colored glasses, and my heart aches for those who are going through the pain and the agony of the disease, of the virus, and of the passing of their relatives. So my heart is shattered, but my attitude is let's move this forward and love each other. That's what's going on with me.
That was so beautiful. I love it. I thought I was the only one who saw myself as a little Pollyanna.
No. Yeah, my husband says, somebody's got to worry around here. And I think, oh, okay, let it be you.
Agreed. I totally agree with her as far as turning it kind of to the half full versus the half empty. Look at what's going to come about it. I'm trying to look at everything from a positive standpoint. Now, I understand the hurt and the pain, but I'm also trying to, hopefully we won't end up back here years from now. And hopefully we can get something out of it. You know, what is the learning lesson in all of this? Hopefully things will get better over time as far as the loving of each other, you know, uplifting your immune system, you know, taking care of each other in a different way. I just hope things will change because things were looking really sketchy there for a while. And a lot of the things, especially on the news before COVID-19. So right now, I just totally understand the change, the pivot. And to me, it looks like a change, a great change that's going to occur as a result of this. And I just look forward to what's going to happen on the other side of this.
I do as well. And what's interesting to me is that you both mentioned the positive aspect or what can we learn from this. One of the things that I'm seeing, and maybe it's just me and I tend to be a conspiracy theorist, is that part of my passion is helping businesses grow. But it started 25 years ago when my passion was simply to be a stay-at-home mom. Everything that I've done, every business I've created, every company I've worked for stemmed from just my sheer desire to be at home with my children. When I started 25 years ago, when I built my first website in 1994, my family especially told me that I was crazy. They told me I was crazy. They told me that I was lazy. And the reason was because if I didn't go out and get a job, then that you must be lazy. Everybody has to go and get a job. And it's because I was ahead of my times. 25 years ago, it was unheard of to work remotely. Now in 2020, if you aren't working remotely, people will be like, what? You still go to work? That's so 1990s. Nobody does that anymore. My mother works for a large corporation and she's never worked from home. Now they have her working from home and they first sent out an email that said she will be working from home probably until April 20th. Now they sent out another email that said, okay, well, we're looking at least May 9th. And so my mom's like, I want to do this, you know, until I retire. I never want to go back into the office. So I believe that people, our world is changing because you don't need all these buildings. 25 years ago, you had to have a physical brick and mortar because computers were huge. No one had printers at home, so you couldn't print, you couldn't do anything. You had to go to the office. So now as a nation, what do we need all these big buildings for? We need to put our families first and be there for our families. But again, that's my philosophy, my soapbox. What do you think about that, Chad?
Well, I'm so pleased to hear that you were talking about your desire to be a stay-at-home parent, because that's really where all of this started for me. Mm-hmm. When Liam was born, the job I was working, I'm actually a fairly recent immigrant to the States from Canada. Mm-hmm. And the jobs that I could get as an immigrant were not so good. I was basically just working minimum wage, no benefits, no insurance, anything like that. So when Liam was born, it became a lot more cost effective for us, for me, to be the stay-at-home parent. That actually allowed me to change my world completely. I went, that finally allowed me to chase my passion of writing, and I became a contributor to several different websites. I began building up social media assets, because why write anything if nobody's gonna read it? I started off with baseball sites. I moved over to political commentary. I worked with, I still work with a parenting group called City Dads Group and NYC Dads Group. And from there, I built up social media assets to not only push out my own writings, but then to work for causes that I felt passionate about. For example, gun violence prevention, education, women's rights, immigrant rights, things like that. But underneath it all, I got the chance to stay home and bond with my son. And when he was diagnosed as being on the spectrum for autism, I was the one that took care of everything. I got him to his meetings. I was here when the therapists came here. If I hadn't been that stay-at-home parent, if that choice hadn't been made, I'd be looking at a completely different life now. And I'd be much less happy, I think, as well. I'd also, unfortunately, be not prepared for the world we're living in right now, this minute, where this is now going to become the norm, where people are going to be working from home. We've all just discovered that, yeah, it can be done. And listen, I also have to give a shout out to the teachers at PS51 who have put together, they basically built a plane while it was still flying, and they pieced together an amazing home learning program. I'm now basically my son's grade one teacher. I spend the first half of my day basically helping him do his schoolwork. The program that our teachers have put together has just been beyond amazing, and Liam is thriving. Without that schedule, without that, without those boundaries, I think our job, our time here at home would be a lot more difficult. So it can be done. We're homeschooling right now. We're working from home, and I think that's, as you said, I think that's going to be the new norm.
Yes, I believe it is. I mean, and also, aside from just our families, the freeways are empty. And I'm one of those people, Francis knows, if no one else knows, I will tell people all the time, I do not leave Long Beach. I don't leave my house. I don't go anywhere. I may make a trip or two every now and then, but for the most part, I am not going to leave Long Beach. So now you have everyone at home, everyone has to be quarantined, but guess what? Our freeways are empty, our streets are empty for the essential companies that have to be on the street. Marlena, what do you think about that?
I totally agree. I've been going outside myself, and when I do drive, it's no traffic. I mean, here in the DC area, traffic is crazy early in the morning, and it's totally different. But to Chad's perspective, I totally agree with what's happening now. I mean, what's happening now is opening things up, especially for new ways of doing things. My job was the same way. was really hesitant in order to allow people to telework and things of that nature. Now they said, just like your mother, oh, it's going to be postponed to the 15th of April, now the 24th of April, and now they're looking at May and potentially June. So I totally agree with everything that's, you're saying right now. And what I noticed also was the fact that many people are able to now enjoy their passions in life. Unfortunately, it took this to happen for people to slow things down, to be able to hear from spirit, to be able to meditate, to be able to hear what your purpose really is here today. And had not this happened, honestly, I really feel as though people would be moving entirely too much, constantly with the hustle and bustle of the world, trying to get ahead and whatever that entails. And they would not slow down in order to see what is going on and what your true purpose is here today. So I feel for the families that are going through this, but honestly, I really feel as though had this not happened, a lot of people would not be ascending, wouldn't be looking at things from a different perspective, wouldn't be growing, their hearts wouldn't be opening, because they wouldn't even know what it looks like. They wouldn't even know how to do it. But now they're having to take that time to meditate, relax, just chill. What does it look like outside today? What does the sun look like? How does it feel on my face without having to take off a month for vacation or a week, or a day for vacation? So, I think this is actually going to be a great thing for the world in general, that everybody will definitely get in touch with their inner real knowing and knowing of themselves.
Yes.
I think it's kind of beautiful that, it's a beautiful thing amongst the horror. When you look at what happened with Italy and the tragedies they're going through. I've had friends in Italy who have been screaming warnings at me for the last month that it's coming, and they were right. But if you look at how, when everyone withdrew indoors, the world sort of bloomed outside. One of the pages that I run on Facebook is called Flowers of New York, and I make sure every day to post, it's still spring outside. There are daffodils, there are blossoms. But in Italy, in Venice, did anyone else notice this? Venice, of course, with the waterways for streets. After a little while, dolphins came back, and they had dolphins in their canals.
Oh, wow.
And I thought that was just beautiful.
Wow.
Obviously the world is still full of horror and bad news right now, but you need to find those little gems of beauty.
Mother Earth is healing, and we need to recognize that. And that's exactly what you're talking about.
We hope.
The outer space maps that they're showing shows a lot of smog lifting from some of the bigger metropolis areas, and it's giving it a chance to breathe. That's so important. And then getting back to working at home, I have a son who, thank you, God, was able to keep his job, work from home. And he got a call the other night that said, we just gave up the lease on the building. You work from home from now on. So it is shifting. It's changing. He has a little 4-year-old son. He'll be able to spend more time with him. There are some things rising from the ashes that are going to make us much better people and a much better society all over the world.
Yes, I believe so, especially since the one thing that we are able to take back is our time. I do feel for all the people who were infected, all the people who have lost loved ones, but every tragedy for some reason brings people closer together. When tragedy happens, we find out ways to be more loving, more giving, more, just more of all that we can be. And I'm just seeing it in these times, I'm seeing so many people come together, people like us who are lifting the spirits of everyone else around us. Like Kat was saying, posting flowers, just reminding people that, you know what, it is a beautiful time. It is spring. I'm excited. My birthday's tomorrow. I'm still going to have a good time.
Happy soon-to-be birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
The birthday's in the end of days. That's awesome.
Yes. I know. That's what I said. I'm like, so I'm celebrating life, because life can change in an instant. And so I just think it's important for us to just look at all of the beauty in life. Now, one of the things that you mentioned, I want to go back to one of the things that you mentioned, Marlena, about your tarot channel. You said you had a tarot channel, correct?
Yes, on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. On YouTube. But you were unable to do it because of the energy. And because, do you feel a pull to return back to that? I was just curious. Or do you feel like that's no longer a part of your new norm? Because one of the things that Chad mentioned, and I think I'm going to take that away from Chad. That's going to be my new thing in all my shows, is that the new norm. So I think we're going into this new norm. So in your new norm, do you feel as if you'll go back to that channel?
Absolutely. I was just on there yesterday, but it was just a hesitation. And actually, because I, you know, do readings on myself, even away from the channel and just on the energies around, I was already getting these messages of me not speaking up and me not doing something I was supposed to do. And then I was just like, okay, what are you trying to say? You're trying to say I have to go back on my channel? And it came out so quick. Yes. It was like an unequivocal. And I was like, okay, sounds good. So I went on live, and the reason why I was trying to avoid it is because I knew my emotions were going to get the best of me. And about midway, my emotions got the best of me. And that's what I was avoiding, because I knew that, you know, the people that came on and the energies that I was tapping into, I was going to feel that hurt. I was going to feel that pain. And honestly, I've been staying in my own little bubble here at home. And then I went on with all my crystals and protection and all kinds of things, because I just wanted to stay, normal. I wanted to stay okay. And I really recognized when I went on that people needed to hear the message. People needed to cleanse. People needed to feel that pain and let it go. The message was mainly about reclaiming your power and realizing the level of power that you have during this time, and not to give all your power away to those who are in power, in essence, and to recognize your place and recognize that you can still open your heart at this time. So, I mean, the message was amazing. I love the message and I'm glad I did it. But it was I was a bit hesitant, and no, I'm not going to stop my YouTube channel. Definitely not. I just was afraid to go back on because I knew I was going to get emotional.
Well, I love that answer. Great response. And when listening to you and the message that came through, I almost feel like it was a copy and paste. It was for you, but it was also for me as well, because that was part of me starting the Roundtable Talk Show, was because I always tell people I was blessed with at least two gifts. I was blessed with the gift of gab, and I was blessed with the gift of manifestation, which means that I can talk you out of your money. That's what I always tell people, that I can say something and then all of a sudden, but then I'm like, okay, but who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? That's my thing. And I said, but you're not speaking to anyone. So I said, I have to talk. But I didn't want it to just be me, because what tends to happen is, you know, it's part of my brand. It is my brand, but it's always Asharifa, 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 Asharifa. But usually when people ask me, there are people like Frances Pullen, Belinda Baker, that I call them. And I'm like, Belinda, what do you think about this? Chad, what do you think about this? And so I wanted to make this a conversation. And so I wanted to introduce everyone to one of my dear friends, one of my mentors, one of the people who helped me put all this together, Miss Belinda Baker. How are you today, Belinda?
Good morning, everyone. I'm fine. It took me like 45 minutes to figure this out. I couldn't work this for nothing in the world. But I kept doing it because I told Sharifa I was going to be on here. I was not going to let her down.
You didn't. You never let me down. So you missed a few minutes of the show. But I'm going to ask you what
I can hear. You know, most of it I could hear, but I could not figure out how to get on.
Okay, well, you figured it out. I knew eventually you would, because I saw your face there. I mean, your name there, but I couldn't see your face. So I'm like, she'll get it. But the main thing we were discussing is how our life was, as opposed to how our life is, and how we keep positive during these times.
You know, my life, what I do is my main source of income is I own drug and alcohol treatment centers. And we get these clients in, and right now my biggest fear is we have no idea where they come from. You know, They come from sleeping in riverbeds. They come from sleeping on park benches. They come from everything, you know. We don't know where they've been. So now it's making me leery about taking clients in. But it's opposite of healthcare. I have to stay open. And it's hard because I want to close so bad. But my staff want to keep working. And I letting them know that, you know, I can't detect what my clients have. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
How does it affect you personally? That to me, I understand that. But how does that make you feel?
It frustrates me because I really want to close. You know, I'm called the state of California, asked them if I could close. Because usually you cannot close more than 2 days if you have a state license for detoxing people. They told me during this pandemic, I could shut down as long as the pandemic is going on. So every day I get up, I have a headache because I don't want to do this. I don't want the next staff, even me, getting told, oh, you have it. And we don't know if we got it from the clients or anywhere outside the facility. So that's my biggest fear right now, is catching it from a client.
I can imagine. So let me just ask you this. And maybe this is just an assumption of mine. You mentioned that you have detox centers. During a tragedy such as this, have you seen an increase of people who need assistance because maybe they're using other ways to cope?
No. It's basically the same. As long as they have, you know, those drugs out there, they're going to have addicts. And as long as they have addicts, eventually the way their mentality work is every few months they get tired, then they're coming to a treatment center, they eat, they get full, then they'll go right back out for a few months. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, y'all. My granddaughter's here and she's like distracting me.
Granddaughter always there? Is this a result?
She just came yesterday when I thought she was going to be gone this morning, but they only way to get her, but they didn't make it soon enough. So she's like distracting me from you guys.
Well, lucky you.
Chasing her around the house.
Lucky you that you have your granddaughter there and you get to give her hugs and kisses.
Yes. You know what? I got her yesterday. And I think if you're on my Facebook, you see I had a big old jumper sitting in my living room because we couldn't have it outside. So it's in my living room, a big jumper. It's the size that you would put out in the backyard. So now she can go home. I can take it down and live my life. But, you know, as far as this virus, people are going to understand whether you have it or not, it still affects everybody in their everyday of life.
It definitely does. Chad, you mentioned earlier, I know we joked a little bit about it. And one of the things that I've noticed, I saw certain people, maybe I'm alone on this, on social media, there were certain people who were posting, just because I'm joking doesn't mean that I take the COVID-19 as a joke, almost as if they have to apologize for having a sense of humor in this time. So when I introduced Chad, I mentioned that we were going to have the discussion about the end of times. And I don't take that lightly because I don't think that's where we are, but I really like your definition of the new norm. What were some other changes that you saw, Chad, as part of the new norm?
Right. Well, obviously, everyone's on Zoom now. Everyone's mm-hmm. doing the work at home thing. But I mean, it would almost be easier to say what hasn't changed in the last month. New York is completely different. All you need to do is go to my Facebook page, The Good, the Chad, and the Ugly, or check my personal profile on Facebook, Chad R. McDonald. And when I do have to go outside, I will simply take a picture, whether I'm walking the dog or if I'm on a supply run. Earlier this week, I took a picture of myself standing in Times Square by myself. Standing in Times Square by myself. I've never seen anything like that before.
But one of the things that you mentioned, not to cut you off, Chad, but I think our terminology has changed. Our verbiage has changed. Back in the early 90s, during the LA riots, I lived right at the epicenter of everything that happened. And I always
so did people, I.
Mm-hmm. Our verbiage changed because we used to say, okay, well, you could go to this store. And after we would say, well, you go, remember where that store used to be? Okay, you make a turn there. because it's no longer there. But Chad, one of the things that you said was you went on a supply run. You keep saying a supply run. Before all of this, I mean, again, maybe it's just me. We would have said I went to the store. You know, I went to the grocery store. But now it's like I got to run out for supplies and get back in the house.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's just it. Before it was, before it was just going to the store. Oh, let me just run to the store. I just need this one thing. Now you have to plan. Now you have to decide what it is you get. You have to have a list and you have to stick to it and you have to get everything on that list, or at least as much as it you can. Now it's, you got to know which store you're going to go to. When the stay-at-home orders first came down here in New York, there was panic in a lot of the bigger stores and a lot of the bigger grocery stores.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure we've all seen the pictures where the shelves got emptied. Then there were toilet paper jokes because you couldn't find toilet paper anywhere. But I don't know if it's because I read too many comic books or I spent time as a Boy Scout or whatever it is, but I always knew that those big stores were going to restock. And I also knew that if you just looked around and checked for different options for stores, you would find what you needed. Mm-hmm. But you're absolutely right. The verbiage has changed. I no longer consider it going to the store. I consider it a supply run, because now when I go to the store, it has to be stuff that we need. I'm either picking up a prescription or I'm restocking. Restocking. See, that's just it. The groceries. Now I'm restocking.
Yes.
I got to make sure that our stores are full here at home. I've got to make sure we have enough food. I've got to make sure we've got cleaning supplies. I'm thinking about things that, not to get all doomsday prepper, because that's not who I am at all, but I'm thinking about things like phone batteries and portable chargers and flashlights and multiple
essentials.
I have all of that, you know. It's unfortunate, but that's also where we are. I mean, it is important, yes, to focus on the positive aspects and to remind people that there is still beauty in this world. That's very much a true thing. But we also need to be aware of what's happening right now and what's happening. As I say this, helicopters are flying overhead. There's a hospital bed, hospital ship berthing 5 blocks away. Things are serious. So, like I said before, there is a fine line we need to walk about recognizing that there is still beauty and positivity in the world, but also realizing that this is a problem that we are going to need to deal with. The fine line there, and yes, I think the verbiage that we're using is a way to deal with that. It becomes supply run instead of going to the store.
Absolutely. Francis, what's everything like in your world?
Well, it's a lot quieter. I have no grandbabies visiting. So that's difficult, but we're Skyping, talking on the phone. I have reached out to people I know who live alone. And I know quite a few of them who have nothing but their kitties or their dog or nothing to communicate with. So I'm picking up the telephone. Hello, how are you? Because I find in today's world, we have let go of personal communication and we're texting these dry texts and pretending it's funny with an emoji. And oh my God, there's nothing to me than having my phone ring and somebody caring and talking to me. So I have made it my story to reach out to others who I know are alone. And it's the easiest thing I could do. And it's quite fun. I am enjoying it. I am talking people out of their fears and giving them positive feedback from things that I know, I've read, I've seen. I think it's important for all of us, and that's just part of my loving the me and me mission that I'm supposed to take to the world and teaching everyone how special they are and how valid they are in the world, because we are going to see a lot of people go into depression and leave us. And whatever I can do, that's my part, that's what I'm doing. So my husband gets tired of seeing me on the phone all the time, I'm sure, but he knows what I'm doing. He knows, he accepts, he doesn't judge. We're all in this together and we need to support each other and hold each other up.
One of the things that I definitely agree with you, Frances, but one of the things that you mentioned that I would like to point out for anyone who's watching or for the other guests on the show is just knowing you personally, you had this feeling about wanting to talk to people as opposed to just text months before COVID-19. It was at the end of 2019 where all of a sudden you had this feeling, because we sat down over some tacos, I think it was, whatever we were eating that day, and you said, Sharifa, you know, we're really missing that personal connection. So some people have said that I've spoken to about the whole COVID-19 is that we collectively create our environment. We create the world that we want to live in. And so if all of us have felt or agreed that, you know what, we need more personal connection, then we created a situation for all of us to connect more personally. And so it gave you an opportunity through all the tragedy. It still offered you an opportunity to do what you always wanted to do, to pick up the phone and start speaking to more people. Wouldn't you say so, Frances?
Yes, I definitely agree. And I'll explain. I'm 70 and I grew up talking on the phone. And so my contact with people was always talking on the phone. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden my phone quit ringing. And it was November, December, when I was feeling so sad. Nobody called me and they were texting. And yeah, I've taught myself to text, but I don't find I'm that fast. I'm getting better. I'm always trying to achieve one more step. But gosh, to hear your laughter and your voice means so much to me that I'm delighted that we're talking on the phone. And even doing this, it's not talking on the phone, but it's talking. It's seeing people, it's talking to people. It's knowing that there's others out there who feel the same way or appreciate. I've had people write me notes and say, thanks for calling, thanks for checking in. And I did it for me as much for them, as selfish as that might sound.
Not at all, not at all. Marlena, how about you? Do you see some of these changes going on in your own life? Maybe something you felt that you wanted to do, but maybe didn't have the time or opportunity?
Actually, more so from the business aspect, definitely. But so I've been like really concentrating on that. Again, the time that I didn't have to be, you know, creative and to be able to pull out some more of my passions. What I'm realizing is I have even more passions. And sometimes I'm thinking so much, I'm like, can I do all of this all at one time? Because it's just kind of just flowing in and the inspiration is there. So it's just opening things up for me. I mean, just to talk to the young lady who was just talking, and in regards to the mothers, I wanted to go see my mother. I went and saw my mother, okay? And she was like, get away from me. I was like, I need a hug. So I gave her a hug, like underneath, like down here. And I was like, you know, but I know she needed one too, because she's been isolated as well. And she's up in age also. But one of the things that we're doing is we are taking our supplements more seriously. She's taking more supplements. We're upping our vitamin C. We're taking more echinacea. We've been hearing about elderberry, again, just to kind of keep your immune system up. So one of the things, another reason why I haven't been as fearful for myself, but I have been fearful for especially some of the people around me who are naturally sick anyway, or have natural illnesses anyway, like my brother has sickle cell. He was in the hospital at Johns Hopkins for about a week, and we're not even quite sure what triggered it, but it could have been that. But at the time, they didn't have something to test. They didn't have a test for it. So he went into a crisis and I was going back and forth to Johns Hopkins. The first thing I did before I went up there was I stopped by the place where I get my supplements, the strongest supplements, the most expensive, whatever. I didn't care. Supplements I could take in order to just take it in, just so I could keep my immune system up, because I knew there were people around me who needed me. And as a result, that's what I've been doing. So again, I haven't been as frightened, but I have been working extremely hard to keep my immune system up.
Well, I definitely understand. It just reminds me, as you speak, one of my dear friends, Mrs. Martin, she'll be 99 this year. And I love talking to her. And I met her about 3 years ago. And when we first met, she was driving. And in the last 3 years, they've taken away her driver's license. She has to sit at home and she hates to ask anyone for help. So I was talking to her the other day and she was telling me she had to take all these, run all these errands. And I said, I'll come get you. She's like, no, I don't want to trouble you, but I'll have to take about 3 buses to get there. I'm like, no, I'll come get you. And then she's like, no. And then finally I said, well, you know, people over 80 are not supposed to be out the house anyway. I am on my way. And finally she's like, okay. But it's just like you step up to another level of taking care of people. Absolutely. And people around you.
Yes, I'm so in agreement with that. And I noticed, and that's something else I recognized even yesterday. Again, there's certain people who have a little more, I want to say a little more flexibility because they can. Mm-hmm. Or their immune system can potentially take it a little better than someone else. So again, I was more than willing to go do certain things for my brother, my mother, and things of that nature. I'm willing to go get my daughter if I need to drive to go get her, because that to me is important. So I just hope people don't lose track of what's really important during this time, because you know, I understand what's going on, but there's still people out there who need help. I may not be a nurse. I may not be working at the grocery store, but I can still help a neighbor, help a loved one. I can still help, and I can still be of help.
Absolutely. What are you doing to help the world, Chat?
Smiling. I'm doing my best to keep my 7-year-old from destroying it. So that's one thing. But just to touch back on what I was saying earlier, I found myself in charge of a fleet of Facebook pages. And as such, it's now a responsibility of mine that information I disseminate has to be accurate and has to be truthful. So right now, to help the world,
you keep saying that. I keep cutting you off for some reason, Chad, but you're so interesting. Not that everyone else isn't, but you keep saying it has to be truthful. It has to be accurate.
That's what's important.
Have you seen a lot of articles per se or posts that weren't truthful and accurate?
Well, again, not to get into political, but every time our president takes one of his press conferences, he's not disseminating truthful information. He's making happy talk. He's making promises that can't keep. He was talking last week about medications that would help the COVID, and someone took that medication and died. What he's doing is irresponsible, and he's basically just trying to play catch up and pretend that maybe he didn't help make this worse. But that's a conversation for another time.
That's right, for another show.
What's important to me is on Facebook, I posted a status yesterday that went semi-viral. And my point of it was that when you look at the media and, like, for example, the Sunday shows, Meet the Press, or even like on Today or what have you, there's a lot of focus on we need to present both sides. And so they present, say, the liberal view and then the conservative view. The only problem with that is that when you've got one side that's lying, you can't promote their lies as being equal to the truth. That's what's been happening, unfortunately, because it seems the truth has been divided down the lines of partisanship these days. You've got places like in New York where they're taking the COVID seriously and they're locking us down and they're making sure that we're trying to flatten the curve. And then you've got somewhere like Mississippi where the governor is refusing to do that and actually threatening to come down on towns and cities and counties that try to do the responsible thing. That's ridiculous. So when I look at the fact that I run all these Facebook pages with all of these followings, that I have people that are seeing what I'm saying and seeing what I'm posting, I find it is extra important for me to make sure that the information I post is accurate, is vetted, is something that is not false. Because on the one hand, I do want to give people hope. That's why I post the things about the flowers and why I post things about my dog fighting the vacuum cleaner. But I also, you know, want people to know that this is serious and here is the kind of information that you can trust. So I always make sure that if I post something, I vet it, that it's a source that is backed up, that it is a source that I can trust and that checks out everywhere else, as opposed to just going out and making happy talk like a certain resident that I could name right now. So
who will remain nameless. No, that's interesting. We have come down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I would love to do is allow each of my guests the opportunity to just give some words of encouragement, words of advice, final words on the show. We're going to go ahead. And since I'm speaking to you and I'm interrupting you, Chad, just give us a couple of words to our audience, please.
So in times like these, nobody ever wants to be in times like these. These are not easy times. You need to find, as we've been hitting the point over and over again, you need to talk about the positivity, but again, take things seriously. So I've been very happy to hear other people here on the panel talk about what they've been doing to help other people. That is exactly the kind of attitude that you need to have. In these times, to paraphrase Gandalf from Lord of the Rings, nobody ever asks to be in times like these. Nobody ever wishes for times like these. But it is not for us to decide this. All we have to decide is what to do with the time we have, and how best to help ourselves and other people.
I love it. Words to live by. Thank you, Chad. Marlena?
Yes, I just want people to remain hopeful, remain upbeat. Do not allow this fear to keep you down. I really do believe that disease arises from a high level of fear. So make sure you find a way to cope and deal with this in a way that is healthy for you and your family, and continue to love on one another, even if you're 6 feet away.
Especially if you're 6 feet away. I love it. I've been using the opportunity. I've been waiting for this moment all my life to be able to tell people social distancing. Social distancing. I love it. I love my personal space. And that's one of the things that, you know, being in Long Beach, California, I was born in Washington, D.C., and all my dad's family is from the East Coast. My mom's from Columbus, Ohio. And to me, that's the biggest difference. In Southern California, we love our personal space. You know, we get on the elevator and there's one person on the elevator. Okay, we're getting on. Two or three people, we might wait for the next one. When you go to the East Coast, when you go to New York, if there aren't 30 people on that elevator, there's still room for more. So I'm like, oh, social distancing, only one person per elevator. This is my time. I'm using it to my advantage. Francis, take us out.
Well, I hate to disagree with you, Sharifa. You know I love you. But yes. I spent a childhood without hugs. Oh. And I taught myself to hug. And I taught myself to accept the energy of the person who was sharing with me. And I have a personal mission, so to speak, where I hug heart to heart. Mm-hmm. And we don't go to this side, we go to this side. So our hearts are actually meeting. And I miss it. So I'm sending you a virtual hug, all of you. And that's what we're going to be doing for now. We're going to be sending virtual hugs, and we're going to be looking forward to the time when we can sit down at a restaurant and eat a taco and remember and be excited for the things that came out of this that are positive. And we will take the moment to grieve those less fortunate. So yes. I trust that I'm going to be here on the flip side.
Yes. I don't know when that is, but I trust that all
of us will be
here on the flip side as well. Yeah.
Yes.
I want to thank you all for who's watching us live on Facebook today. Thank you for joining us. Who's ever watching this in the archives, thank you for your support. I want to thank all of my guests, Chad, Francis, Marlana, Belinda. Thank you for joining us today. I truly, truly appreciate you for being here on the very first episode of the Round Table Talk Show. Please support the show. I'm going to add the links for the websites and more information for today's guests. Please visit their websites. Please find out more about them. Support the show. You can visit my website at asharifa.com. Until tomorrow, we will be back tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on the Roundtable Talk Show on Facebook. Everyone have a wonderful day. Bye now.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.